Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets. I am Tori, along with Rob and Miles, and each week the three of us are going to provide you a technical analysis of the metals charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move the metals prices and predict the markets. You can always find us at McIlvaney.com and see the images that we're discussing on any given show. We start with a weekly recap, and Miles, that's exactly what we're going to do. Take us away.
Appreciate it, Tori. Yeah, so we'll jump right into a relatively quiet week across the board here with gold starting off up about 1.5% since our recording last Wednesday. Currently sitting at $4,440. I almost put 4444, but that would have been cheating because it wasn't, but pretty close. So yeah, pretty quiet, a little bit of volatility in gold, but 1.5% in a week nowadays is pretty tame. So story continues as we move over to silver. Silver's up 1.2%, so about as much as gold did. Just under $73 an ounce, currently sitting at $72.90. And when we look at some of the other precious metals, just to see how the market as a whole is doing, platinum is actually down about 1%. And not only is it below the 2000 mark it's been flirting with for a number of months, we're currently sitting below 1900. It's at 1846, so platinum has come down quite a bit over the last couple of weeks. Sister metal, palladium, is actually a little bit worse. Palladium down 3.6% over the last week, and flirting with the 1200s, it's at $1,306 at the moment. Paper markets are doing okay with the S&P up about 2% and did put in another new all-time high here over the last week, currently sitting at 7,553 points. And finally, even the dollar is up, although not much. It's up about 0.1% and was pretty volatile this past week up and down, but currently sitting up about 0.1%, still under 100. It's at 99.5. So guys, we have a couple things to go into this week. Where do you want to start?
I think we start with the seasonal charts. Tori, you want to take that?
Seasonal, I mean, that's fitting.
It is summer.
Yeah, it's summer. It's officially June.
Yep.
Right? So good place to start. You know, the old adage, Miles, you use this quite often, sell in May and go away.
Yeah, I think I made that up.
I think you probably didn't.
I think I am responsible for that phrase. I made that up before I was born.
You keep thinking that way. Yeah.
Most smart things come from me.
Well, let's go back 50 years. And since you're not quite 50 years old, you know, still lends some credence to the fact that you've been saying it for a long time because you looked at data retroactively. But yeah, I mean, whether you look back 5 years or 30 years or 50 years, doesn't matter, man. It's June. June is the month to expect a low.
Right. You know, it's consistent. You can look at all of the different charts, and it's always June where you get the lower price.
Yeah, it averages over that time a loss. It's one of the very few negative months consistently. In fact, if you look at like the 50-year chart on gold, there's one other month that is negative over the course of those 50 years, and that's the month of March. But June rules a roost, especially as you look back on the last 5 and 10 years. And if you add up all the positive months for the 50 years, those months total about 11%. And we know that to be true because gold has kind of averaged that 10% annual return. And with the two negative months of March and June added in there, that's what it brings it down to. So it's not a major decline. You know, let's say the last 5 years, we've been down about 1%. Here we are this week up 1.5%. And again, it's not perfect, but I would tell the listener, expect it to be at least a flat month, which I think it was last year too. Miles, you could tell us chart-wise, but this is when the summer lull started with gold. Silver kind of started to come to life and gold had come down with calmer waters post-tariff mania. And we kind of had that flat summer in gold and a takeoff in silver.
Yeah, June last year opened at 3303 and closed at 3303. So it was actually down 30 cents for the month last year.
See? Told you.
Well, and it's a different world now. I mean, you go back 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 years and you look at the demand. That mirrored a lot of what happens here in the United States. But over the last few years, the world of demand has shifted to the East versus West. I mean, if you look at gold here in the U.S., open interest in gold is at a 13-year low. And it's actually lower than the bottom of open interest at the end of the gold bear market of 2015 when gold was trading just over $1,000. So speculators here in the U.S. have given up on gold in favor of AI semiconductor stocks, which are up over 80%. However, central banks now own 36,000 tons of gold, making it the largest reserve asset in the world. And they are favoring gold now more than U.S. treasuries. I mean, this goes back to the Bretton Woods era in terms of central banks' allocation to gold. And the East is also declaring gold to be a high-quality liquid asset, which means they don't have to sell it. It can be used as collateral. The West does not do that. We will be changing. The world of money is changing. The U.S. and London are no longer in control of the metals markets. I'll explain more about that later.
No, that's great. And Miles, if June plays out, you know, to be a negative month, I think maybe that's where we start too, is the technical analysis on where do you see it pulling back to if potentially we haven't put a low in yet so far in June or this year.
Could well see it now.
We can definitely take a look at some stuff because we are seeing some potential levels worth keeping track of. Let's say bumping our heads against them, or in this case, our heels against them. Just for a refresher course, you know, one of the big things I like to look at from a charting perspective, because I know there's a lot of people out there who get very, let's say, addicted to a particular charting method. I'm a big fan of the buffet style of charting, and I like to look for the dish that most people have dug their spoon into. What do the Fib guys think? What do the moving average guys think? What do the stochastic guys think? You know, what are all the guys that kind of have their team that they like to root for? I just say, okay, well, what's the sport as a whole doing? So I look for these periods or pricing points in charting where you see multiple indicators kind of aligning up at the same place, you know, where you have moving averages and Fib retracement levels and even shorter term momentum based stuff like stochastics and RSI, so on and so forth. And right now, specifically on gold, I would argue that really anywhere from that like 40, mid 4,300 to mid 4,400 trading range has a lot of momentum sort of stacking up in there. You're looking at the previous high going back to October of last year where gold peaked out at like 4,350. Before we got this final push up at the end of the year, beginning of this year, we've come back and touched that. That also happens to line up with your short-term 50% Fibonacci retracement. It lines up with right now, Tori, we were talking about this earlier today. We have, as of a couple days ago, we hit the 200-day moving average and bounced back up, but not very high. We didn't get a lot of movement back up from it, as well as we've had this sort of line in the sand drawn right at that previous high, you know, right at that 4,350. So gold is really compressing down against this floor. And every time it hits this floor, there's going to be less and less people that are willing to take the bet, right? One of the big things also for me is, and this is where we've been talking for months, is this momentum concept. How much potential energy is already sitting at a price level because traders have already placed limit orders there to get enacted when a certain price gets hit. Most bigger investors don't sit and just wait to push the button on their computer. They pick a price, they place the order, and when it hits that price, they take the order. Well, the problem is every time you hit that price, there are going to be fewer and fewer people that are coming in to place a trade at that price again. So, you know, we hit 4,400 immediately after the decline. you know, the immediate decline back at the end of January when China kicked the legs out from under the silver market and brought gold down with it. What do? We flatlined down at 4,400 and then spiked back up. We came back down. We not only hit it again, but we traded around it for a few days. In fact, we even got as low as almost 4,000 in a single day. But then we came back up again. Yeah, back in March. We come back up again, but it doesn't bounce as high as it did the previous time. Well, now we've come down and hit it again, and we've been trading sideways around it for the last couple days again. So the question is, can it build up any momentum last minute here to turn it back north? I got to be honest, guys, I don't think so at this point. Not in June. Maybe if it was January, we could.
Well, decades of history say it's not going to.
Well, picture it almost like I think of a Super Bowl bouncing, like from the highest point, it's going to get a bounce. And then the next fall is a smaller bounce and a smaller bounce until eventually maybe it rolls off the table or something picks it up and throws it again.
We got to get out of the Iran yo-yo market and get back normal.
That is so true. You know, it's timing up with the seasonal weakness right now and it's adding to it. First of all, this is a unique market. Geopolitically, you tend to see gold rally when there's geopolitical tensions increasing. This is different than at any point in the past. This time, the more tensions rise, the more gold drops and oil rises and the dollar rises. It's literally the opposite. So we'll see if that continues to play out. Either we're going to reach an agreement. It's looking less and less likely. So there's going to be, to me, kind of a long-term geopolitical chess game going on now with the Red Sea and the Strait of Hormuz and everything else. And Trump's trying to balance Israel with Hezbollah and Iran and our allies and our obvious domestic oil producers. There's a lot going on there. But I'm not going to predict one way or another the way it goes, but I'm with you. The other headwind I think that we're seeing in gold that could cause that ball to continue to really set lower highs is the yields. So with that uncertainty has come a spike in the yield. So it's really about the real rate of return.
Well, maybe here in the U.S., people are paying attention to that. But if you look around the world, people are dumping U.S. treasuries. And in many cases, they're opting for more gold.
Well, they are. And that'll happen when the real yield becomes negative. So if you think about, we've got a couple things coming out. We have the relatively new inflation numbers, but we have the non-farm payroll numbers coming out Friday in 2 days from now. And that's going to help determine Fed policy because inflation's already running away from them. And is there a rate cut in the future? We don't know. We gave a quote last week that Warsh was talking about maybe having to raise rates to rein in inflation. The more common consensus is that there's going to be a rate cut because the longer inflation stays high, the more stagnant it is on the economy. They're going to need to stimulate. Let me describe here for just a sec what real yield is. So the real yield is the nominal yield minus the inflation rate. So what that means is the nominal yield is what is the bond paying? So let's say a bond is paying 3% right now, but the inflation rate is 4%. Well, that makes the real yield
negative 1%. I had to take my boots off to do the high.
There you go. I like
Rob
it.
Rob has one toe, and that's how there you go.
So even though you generated income, you got 3% return, your money lost purchasing power over time because inflation was sucking out more than you were making. Well, right now, let's just take the 10-year yield. It's at 4.5%. The inflation rate is 3.8, so the real yield is positive 0.7. Well, gold does really well when the real yield is negative. It's weaker when the real yield is positive. So we should be expecting some of that right now. And yes, it's lining up with the seasonal weakness, but at some point I do believe that's going to change because inflation's continuing to pick up as oil is that great inflationary force multiplier through the economy. And they're going to probably cut rates to try to stimulate. Okay, so 2008, when that happened, gold exploded all the way into 2011, set a new all-time high. Post-COVID, we had ultra-low rates near zero, and everything got reflated, and gold hit another all-time high. And so every major gold bull market in modern history, the 70s, the 2000s, 2020s, featured plunging real rates. that's when I think that we're going to see gold come back to life. I don't know about the silver piece, but that's another thing we're keeping our eyes on.
Now, Miles, let's take a quick look at silver. What do we got?
Yeah, well, I think you're looking at a pretty similar story to gold. It's at a different point in the race, but we're seeing the same type of concept as we're bouncing down to these longer-term indicators, putting in a floor there. But the rebound we're getting back up with Tory's ball-bouncing analogy, we're just not seeing the momentum pick up. So, yeah, I think you can expect what we're seeing in gold is probably going to follow suit with silver. Silver's doing a little bit better than gold. It's a little higher in its own trading range, but silver typically is a much more aggressive ups, much more aggressive downs. And since they're both trading sideways, with silver doing a little bit better than gold here recently, we're seeing that reflected over in the gold-silver ratio as well, where the gold-silver ratio is also tilting downward still, favoring adding to gold positions at the expense of silver, and hoping that that might even get a little bit better where we can pick up even more gold at the expense of silver in the near future. So yeah, the silver and gold market are definitely side by side. You know, they may not move dollar for dollar with each other. In fact, the fact that they don't is one of the big things you can do to take advantage within the precious metals market to increase your position. But they're their own animal, gold and silver are. So the question is just how does that relate to other things in the precious metals market that we look at, like, say, platinum or palladium?
Well, platinum is interesting to me. I mean, you talked early in the show about how it's kind of stalled here. And coincidentally or not, every time we get to about 0.43% of the gold price, like platinum divided by gold, we all want to see it hit parity.
Yeah. Right?
We're going to ratio trade when platinum ratio, and gold are 1-to-1.
Absolutely.
Man, we keep hitting our head at like this 0.43. We finally start to go below that. And here today, now it's down 3% or 3.5% to gold's 1.5%. And I just find that fascinating. So I kind of want to start keeping our eye on that. And when it breaks above and we actually get into maybe 0.5, maybe that's when platinum's going to start taking off or gold's going to really see some corrections that change that ratio as well. It could be either way. Anyway, all that being said, Rob, you had mentioned Shanghai.
Well, yeah, I mean, right now, Shanghai is paying an 11% premium over the price of New York silver. And under normal market conditions, when they're paying 11% more in Shanghai than they are in New York, those kind of discrepancies tend to attract traders who quickly close the gap, you know, with cross-market transactions. And the existence of a sustained premium in Shanghai, this has been going on for months.
Well, yeah, it started in January, I think.
But, yeah. So and it's still there. So that makes you wonder, what does this really mean? Does that reflect a stronger demand in Shanghai for immediately available silver versus what's available in New York or even London? And you have to wonder, is there a problem with the Western markets being able to access physical silver and get it to China?
Or is physical silver witnessing a mass exodus out of the West to the East? I mean, who wouldn't want to take advantage of an 11% premium? Well, you know, there's expenses with getting it there, but
yeah, not
still, it's a form of arbitrage. You get to pick up some free.
Yeah, but that would normally be covered in a matter of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get that kind of gap. It's usually closed within just a matter of days. It's been 6 months.
Yep.
Well, have you met the U.S. financial system? If it costs them 10.99%, come on, if it's a 0.1% bonus,
they're going to squeeze it.
Yeah, they're still going to squeeze it. I mean, that's been the whole point of the Japanese carry trade for the last 30 years. It's like,
such a good point. When you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars, you know, it's like, I'll take 0.1% on 100 billion.
Yeah, of course. Then we'll find something else to squeeze an extra 0.1% out. Yeah, it's short-term thinking. The biggest pain in the butt for the U.S. system is not how much they're making by taking advantage of it. It's the time that it takes with that product in transit. So I'm sure there'll be some some negotiation as to quantity delivered. But I think you're right, Rob. I think that's something where, 11%, are you kidding me? There's got to be somebody sitting on JP Morgan's silver position going, hey guys, China wants it.
I got an idea.
I got an idea. And yeah. China will just,
but here's the
just
thing.
Gonna keep
here's
stacking.
The thing. We're not the only three ants on the bowling ball seeing this, okay? I need to pull out my custom-made tinfoil cowboy hat and ask a question. What do we not know? There's something going on when the rest of the world is accumulating gold at the expense of U.S. treasuries.
And silver. Yeah.
And silver at a premium. Why are the U.S. markets languishing like, I mean, I'm talking about the precious metals market, obviously not, you know, AI semiconductors, but why is the U.S. metals market in face of this overwhelming demand languishing?
Well, because there's such great reward in so many areas right now.
Yeah.
Right? They'll worry about that later and they'll be too late to yeah. react, right? Instead of getting ahead of it. And we see this over and over again. I mean, it's no different than the yield discussion I was talking about. People buy gold when the opportunity cost of holding non-yielding assets is zero, basically. Right now, the equities markets, again, are grossly overvalued, the most overvalued the stock market's ever been.
Ever been.
So why would they be looking at gold? Why would they even really be looking at treasuries or the bond market?
Oh, exactly.
Right? Whereas other countries kind of get it. And I think we're going to see an increased stockpiling of commodities. And the more you buy now, like China's been doing with silver, at these lower prices, at some point, yeah, like Miles, you said 2 weeks ago, we're going to see $150 silver. We just don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be whatever news. It'll be fundamentally driven because the fundamentals are really all that matters.
Pretty much.
Right, Miles?
Yeah.
yeah, chart monkey.
It's all about the fundamentals, not the charts. I was just sitting here picturing the average American investor not only burning the candle at both ends while holding it over top of other candles. The answer to your question is it's the Western mindset. I mean, yeah. that we would rather end up with nothing because we risked everything. We would rather have that scenario in the Western mindset than have something forever. You know, the Eastern mindset yeah. is about having at least something forever. The Western mindset is go big or go home. So that's yeah. it. I mean, it's just a different investment strategy, and that works really well for a short period of time or until you get unlucky. So that's
well,
in
the tinfoil hat, you know, to answer that then, here's one theory. What we don't know is that future rate cuts are coming because of economic stagflation,
yeah.
commodities prices skyrocketing, and the cost of goods of things climbing. And it's going to be a global event.
Well, here's one thing I do know. It's June, okay? It's the lowest price of the year typically, okay? So practical consideration, it's June. Get out your checkbook.
And buy gold.
Well, that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website at McElvaney.com. That's McElvaney.com, where you can find this and other great weekly shows that we put out. As always, you can also give us a call if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McElvaney Precious Metals. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.